Okay. 99.9 Chuki FM episode 2. Shout out to everybody. I am having fun doing this right now. And so I'm gonna keep doing this as long as I'm having fun. And then I will pay if it stops being fun or it becomes like job like. But I don't think it's gonna be job like because I'm not aspiring to like start like advertising on here or like I'm not even really trying to get a big audience. I'm just doing this because it's easier than doing on Instagram right now because it's like for some reason my phone just will not cooperate and Instagram keeps glitching on me while I'm trying to do it. And also, you know, people are always asking me to do a podcast. So yeah, I'm gonna keep doing this. So anyway, speaking of advertising, right? I was saying on Instagram earlier that I feel like, the advertising is just everywhere to the point right now where it's completely consumed everything. And I feel like I'm living in a world of 4X people. Because not only is the advertising coming through like the formal media channels, but everybody is trying to sell something. And I'm talking about some of my acquaintances, some people in my circle, my social circle, like my outer social circle, not really like my close friends. But I'm talking about that. Like it feels like I'm always being marketed to. And it has now become a moral failing for me to not constantly be engaged with everything that everybody I know is always doing. If I don't repost something, I don't post a link and then you still see me active. It's like, oh, bitch, okay, heard you. We got to cut that shit out. We have to cut that shit out. Me not being constantly engaged with something that you're doing, something promotional, does not have to mean that you are less valuable, does not have to mean that your shit is not ill, because really that's what the response is about. That's what the reaction is about. It's really not about me. It's not about me. It makes people feel bad when they feel like their people are not supporting them because it makes them feel not valuable. That's what it's about. At the end of the day, I don't care. I'm not confused. It's not about me. So when you have your movement and you feel like, okay, bet, y'all wasn't with the movement. Y'all was a fucker with the movement. Watch what happened. And you feel like you got to prove to people like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, look. And now you want to be my friend. And now you want to repost my shit because it's pop. And that's because you're proving your value to yourself. You feel vindicated because it made you question your value. And so what I say to that is that you need to sit in your cunt. You need to sit in your cunt. If you put out something or you're working on something, divest yourself from who is going to do what with it. And I know that's really hard to say because people spend money and they put a lot of resources and time and love into the things that they do. And so they want it to get out there to an audience. However, don't let it become a guilt trip. Don't let it become a guilt trip. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that because you know what it feels like? It feels like I gotta hide from people. And I'm not gonna, I can't, I, what? Girl, why am I running from you? Why am I running from you? Or I'm not like, you know, it feels like you gotta hide from people or you gotta duck and dodge people. And like, I'm not one for that, you know, and not to be egotistical. That's not why I'm taking that tone. I'm taking that tone because it's just like, that's not what you're supposed to do with your friends. But you feel forced to do it when people are just so maniacal about promoting everything that they doing and like shoving everything down your face and your throat and throwing a link at you and sliding your DMs and adding you to random promotional groups because now they got the Instagram groups now. Right. They got the Instagram groups. They got groups on everything, girl. They got groups on there, groups on Twitter. They got groups on fucking WhatsApp, you know, and like everybody is just like, you find yourself in so much shit that you didn't ask to be a part of. Get out my DM with all that. And it's not that I don't want to, because there's nothing wrong with getting my attention with your stuff, especially if we tapped in, the two of us. Like if you my peoples and I'm your peoples, yes, like there's nothing wrong with that. But there is such a difference between sharing with me from your heart and sharing with me where you're just like, yo. And I'm not saying your heart is not involved in it, but purely sharing with me from your heart where you're just like, yo, look at this. Cassie, I want to show you this. Look what I did. Versus coming to me to seek validation and to seek and to prove to yourself that your movement is going and to check off something off your list that to make you feel like you promoting and you doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's a different thing. And you coming to me with an expectation. What if I don't like it? Now your whole shit is deflated. You see what I'm saying? You setting yourself up. You're not setting me up. You're setting yourself up. Because you're going to lash out at me, but it's really about you. That's what I'm going to say about that. As far as the media is concerned, I think that we need to really, really, really work on setting boundaries with these fucking advertisers. And it seems like the only way to get some bread now is advertising. It seems like advertising is the only thing that money is in right now. And so everybody is attaching advertising to something, you know? It's just kind of like, advertising is like the ultimate subsidy to everything. You know, I think about like porn, honestly, like all them free porn sites that y'all see, like it's the advertising that keeps that afloat. Like, why do you think you could have, hundreds of thousands of porn videos at your disposal and you're not paying nothing? Like, that's what that is. You see what I'm saying? That's, you know, the free tier of Spotify. That's what that is, you know, like, the free tier of all of the, does Apple Music have a free tier now? I think it does. I don't know, but it probably doesn't. That's a lie. But I know Tidal has it and some other places, you know, like it's in everything and it's exhausting. And I want to engage and I want to be online and stuff like that. But, you know, there's been a bubbling conversation online that I've seen a couple TikToks about. And they was basically saying that social media is not social media anymore. We've entered a new era where it's entertainment media. It's all entertainment media. So people don't feel like they can post and be present online if they are not promoting something or if they are not entertaining people in a formal sense of the word, where like they have a thing and they have like a shtick that they do, you know? Everything is content. Everything is, you see what I'm saying? Now it's not just like back in the day where you would go on Facebook and I was a part of that era too. Now, mind you, I was a little young. When I had my first Facebook, I was 10 years old. And I know some people who had like MySpace pages before that. My mom didn't play that, but I got to have a Facebook at 10 years old. The atmosphere of Facebook was a little bit more family friendly back then. And I used to go on there and I used to just like upload mad pictures from the digital camera. And then you would just have these albums and it would just, that's just what it was. Like, it wasn't content. It was just like you was archiving, you know, your night out. You was archiving things like very much like about last night. You see what I'm saying? Before about last night was corny. And I just feel like that's gone, where like now. So what people keep saying now is that everybody's moving to closed communities. Everybody is moving to these communities where like, you know, you have stuff like Discord and you have, you know, like Finstas and things like that. That's where people feel comfortable just like being less curated and just being social. And everyone's just kind of like, the regular person has been just like pushed out of like the spotlight of social media, which I don't know if is necessarily a bad thing. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. However, one of the side effects of that I hate is that the advertising is just everywhere and it won't go away. It just won't go away. I don't like that. So I'm feeling very much like the walls are closing in on me with that, with just like being engaged in social media. And I don't know if I have the answer for what it's going to take for us to escape that. I already engage in some of the things that I think other people are engaging in, to still hold on to that social media aspect of everything. But yeah, I think another thing too is the constantness of social media. You know what we need to go back to? Away messages. Back in the day when I used to use like AIM, right? Like we all used to use AIM, or like maybe you used MSN if you're a little older, right? And things like that. Like you had away messages, right? It was generally accepted that we were not always online, because the way that most of us used our social platforms was through a computer, like a stationary desktop computer. So if you wasn't at the desk, like people couldn't expect you to just answer, right? So you knew, like, you would be hype if you saw somebody online, and you know that was the time to talk to them, right? But that was less about boundaries and more about physical limitations. And I feel like nowadays, if we was to reinstate that, it would have to be about like boundaries, right? But I think still everybody, because Instagram did kind of do that. Hold on. I'm like, my food is digesting, and so it's making me kind of like burp. Like, anyway. Ew. Instagram did kind of do that, because they had this thing where it was like, you could show that you're online, right? But they did it in a way like, Instagram, y'all are just so fucking like, ooh, like I can't find the word right there. Like, oh, there's a word in my head that I just want to, like, a curse word that I want to use for that, because ew, like y'all are so disgusting. Like the way that y'all implemented that, like the online feature, because their online feature basically was like a green dot next to your name. And it's not that you could turn it on or off. Like, I mean, you could turn it on or off, but like the way that they have it with you turning it off is basically like it's never on or it's always on, right? And if you open the app at all, that green light is going to come on. And sometimes we use Instagram for a lot of things, and sometimes I am not coming. You know, part of the reason that I got back on Instagram, part of the draw for me, because even when I had deactivated my main account, I have my other accounts, like my old account from high school, that sometimes I log into that account just to, like, if I need to search an account or something, like if I need to search something up or look for something. I'm here in Atlanta, like I have to use, like, that's the beauty of the internet, that I'm in a new city. I don't really know nobody, but I can use the internet to kind of find my way around out here, you know, and I'm not just in the sense of a map, but in the sense of just like what's popping out here, like what's going on, you know, what can I visit? Where can I meet people at? So I was doing research like that through Instagram, and also TikTok as well. And I'm not on there to talk. I'm not on there to talk to y'all right now. Like, I'm just not. And now it's just like people treat DMs kind of like an outbox, even if they feel like you, even if you make it obvious that you're not online, because people assume now that you're always online unless you deactivate. Like, it's literally that extreme. You know, it really is that extreme. So it's like now people, they will DM you anytime, all the time, constantly, and just expect, oh, she'll see it when she gets back. You know, she'll see it when she gets back. Or I wish we actually did have an outbox. I wish we did have an outbox so that when people did still decide to message, it was known between it's known between us and the people who's messaging us that I am not going to see that message right away. It's clear that it's not urgent, right? Because sometimes when I leave Instagram, I be scared that like there's going to be an opportunity or something that I'm going to miss out, or somebody's going to reach out to me for something. And because there have been times where I had been like away from Instagram and I just got that urge to go back in there because addiction. And I was lucky enough to catch a DM that was time sensitive, you know? So I think that it would be good if, like, you had something that was like, okay, if it's not time sensitive, put it here. If it is time sensitive, like, that's for the inbox and that's for when I'm online. If you don't see that green thing and if it says that I'm away and I'm having my away message up, then, girl, don't DM me. Don't DM me. Or if it's something that could wait for later, right, and you just really do want to say it, then, yeah, like, put it in the outbox. So, I don't know. That's what I think. I think we need to bring that kind of, like, web, I don't know, what is that, web 1.0? I think we need to bring back them web 1.0 things. Or, like, maybe that was the very beginning of web 2.0. Because, yeah, like, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming and it's extreme. It's either I have to shut the whole shit down or I'm on there and I'm like, I have to give all my attention because, oh my God, I'm so afraid. Like, I don't want people to think I'm ignoring them. Like, I deal with that a lot. I don't want people to feel like I'm ignoring them. I don't want this person to, like, you know, like, different stuff like that. Or sometimes I will read a message and I don't have nothing to say yet. Or I'm not ready to respond yet. You know, that should be something that I have a right to now, that we all have a right to. So, I don't know. Let's figure that out. Let's definitely figure that out. There's something else I want to talk about, too. I'm gonna do a cut here because I need to.
All right. So, this next topic is going to be where it actually gets interesting. It's going to be a little messy, Boots. It's going to be a little messy. However, I just want to preface it by saying, usually I refrain from speaking about famous people and things like that, like, online, because I'm no more than 3 degrees of separation from a lot of famous people. Whether they would care or not about what I have to say, it's not unlikely that things that I would say would get back to certain people. So there's that, and then there's also the fact that, like, nobody wants to be, like, the crazy, like, prophet lady at the, like, edge of society. You know, there's that archetype of people who, like, they are radical truth tellers, and it disenfranchises them because the system that they are calling out is so deeply entrenched and unethical, this and that, like, they just cannot exist within it. And so it pushes them into a lonely life on the fringes of society, into exile, basically. And, like, people just go and seek them out for advice. I don't really want to be that girl. Like, I want to live a full life. I'm not interested in being, like, the lady with the crystal ball for everybody else. I speak because I like to speak, because God gave me the gift of gab. But anyway, who I want to talk about is, we're going to call him the Hello, Good Morning Man. Or we can call him what's another one of his songs? We're just going to call him the Hello, Good Morning Man. Because everybody knows who I'm talking about when I say that. And I've been dying to talk about it. And I'm not going to say by name just because, just for the slight possibility of legal anything. Nobody wants to end up like a Tasha K. I'm not a gossip blogger. I'm just a regular person who has an opinion. This is not celebrity tabloid, this and that. But I think the reason I want to talk about this is because it's relevant to me and my reality, and it's relevant to a lot of y'all too. It's actually relevant to all of us on a social level, right? So all of the stuff that has come out about the Hello, Good Morning Man. And, you know, he's being, you know, I think it's been an open secret for years that he has been a sexual predator in the industry, a very powerful one. However, it's always been one person's word against another, and nothing's ever really been confirmed for a long time. And my first thought that I have about this is that part of the reason that the black men who are victims to his sexual abuse have no one to run to is because of the general culture of homophobia. And I know that's obvious. I know you're like, Cassius, you're not saying nothing special. But I think I need to drive it home a little bit more than that, right? Because when I was a kid, I used to be into like the Illuminati shit, right? The Illuminati conspiracy theories on YouTube. And they was always talking about the black gay mafia, right? And there's always been this thing where a lot of niggas in the industry who maybe didn't make it like they wanted to, or niggas who tried to rap it and didn't go nowhere with it or nothing like that, they're always kind of alluding to this gay mafia, that there's these powerful gay niggas who's making everybody suck dick in the industry. And if you not sucking dick, you not getting on. You're not on Billboard. You're not winning a Grammy. Okay? You're not getting the Oscar. Right? And so that's been a popular open secret amongst black gay people. I mean, not black gay people, amongst black people for a long time. However, because homophobia is so mainstream in the black community, and when I say the black community, I'm including black Americans, Caribbean people, and Africans, at least West Africans, because that's who I have the most experience with in my life. Because that is so mainstream in our culture, how do you know the difference? How does somebody like me, who is a gay person, who would not laugh at a person for being sexually abused, whether they're a man or not, right? How do I go to bat for a black man when I can't tell the difference? I can never tell the difference between if they're just being homophobic or if they really did get R-worded. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, that's so dangerous, and that is why y'all niggas have to stop. That's why y'all have to stop with that homophobia. Because who's coming to bat for you now? Look how they treated Meek Mill. Look how everybody's laughing at Meek Mill. That shit is not funny. That's not a key. That's horrible. I hate that has possibly happened to him at the hands of this. Because, I mean, oops. At the hands of Hello Good Morning. Because he has not denied it. So it seems to be true. It seems to be true. And you know, regardless, I don't know about, regardless of anything else that Meek Mill has done, God bless him for having the courage to not deny it. If that's his truth. Because that's the best he can do, at least. Right? Because maybe he cannot bring himself to admit what happened, but he can at least not obscure the truth actively. And so God bless him for that. But who's coming to bat for these niggas? This stuff could have been talked about and uncovered a long time ago. If I know a black man, and I know that he is not the type of black man that is homophobic and is going to say all types of stupid shit about gay people, and then one day he starts telling me how this gay nigga has raped him, I'm going to believe him. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to believe him. Shit, I accidentally stopped recording. I'm not going to second guess him. And I'm not going to say, did you really get raped? Or are you mad that your career didn't take off? So you know that's the easiest way to get people to turn against another black man is to say that he's gay. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to believe him. Because I'm not in the business of telling people who got, you know, like now, I know when it comes to black people, I know we always bring up Emmett Till and we bring up those kinds of things. I know those things happen. However, that is not the prevailing narrative of sexual abuse. So we're not going to do that. Right? And I'm not in the business of calling everything that a black man gets accused of an Emmett Till moment, because it's fucking not. You know that. You know how your uncle act in your family. You know how your grandfather act. you know how your father act. We're not going to call everybody to Emmett Till. Every nigga is not Emmett Till. God rest his soul. So that's just, that's the sad thing. That's the sad thing for me. And we have to get past that as a culture. And I need black men to realize that, that if you want people to help you when you get in a situation like this, you got to stop the homophobic shit, because no, we can't, from the outside looking in, we cannot tell the difference between what's hate. Because all I know is that when you came across another gay nigga that was going about his business and he was a kind soul to everyone, you still hated him and you still damned his soul to hell. So how do I know the difference when you're talking about hello, good morning? I don't. And I'm not saying this is Meek Mill specifically, because I don't know of any specific instance of homophobia from Meek Mill. I'm just saying that in general about black men who experience sexual abuse at the hands of queer black men, right? And then speak out about it, right? And sometimes even the men who aren't homophobic deal with the repercussions of that as well. You see what I'm saying? Because as far as, I wouldn't imagine that like a Terry Crews was homophobic, but you see how people treated Terry Crews? I think Terry Crews has said some questionable things, you know, in the future, but I'm not going to use like a moral game to say that he deserves, you know, that he doesn't deserve to have been treated better, right? Regardless of whatever stupid shit he may have said after that, he still deserved to be treated better with that situation. And I don't imagine Terry Crews as that type of like homophobic black man, but even somebody like him, you see, like he suffers because of that. So it's like, if y'all really want these niggas, right, the type of gay niggas that y'all are scared of, that like that want to take your butt. If y'all want these niggas to come to justice, y'all have to draw the line between the difference between, okay, is all gay niggas going to hell, or are the gay niggas who's trying to take your ass going to hell? It's up to you, because at the end of the day, you suffer just like I suffer. You suffer just like I suffer in another way. Hello, Good Morning was able to get this far with what he was doing because he was blackmailing everybody. He got rappers. He said, look, come to my mansion. Boom. You thought you was coming to the mansion to talk money? No, you sucking dick. Suck this dick. I'm going to record it. And then you're going to do what I say for the rest of your career. And if you piss me off, if you make me think, if you make me have to repeat myself twice, I'm going to put out this video of you sucking dick. And then you're going to be over and you're going to be exiled. That is the black man's biggest fear. A black man will live his life in exile voluntarily before he gets exiled for homophobia. That's their worst fear, to be questioned about that. Like it's, and it runs so deep. And that's why that silence could exist for so long, and abuse thrives in silence. I'm not a victim blamer, so I don't blame anybody for getting abused. But what I will say is that the response to abuse, y'all do it to yourselves. Not every black man. And God bless the black men who don't ask for it, right? And who don't participate in the berating of gay people, right? But for the rest of y'all niggas do that shit to yourself. Make no mistake. And the women who raise you do it. And the women you date do it. All of y'all, it's all of y'all fault. The response, not the act. It's never your fault if you get sexually abused, if you get physically abused, that's not your fault. The response is where y'all hold responsibility as a community. Not we, I'm not including myself in that because I don't. Anyway, so the next thought that I had about this is,
If Hello Good Morning Man is so intimidating and he's hanging people out of balconies and he got guns and he's so well connected and he know how to beat you up in a hotel and take the footage and you know, et cetera, right? Why couldn't you use all of that intimidation and power to turn the tides and make the industry and make the world more comfortable for yourself and people like you so that you could do your freak shit in public and in the open and nobody would question you about it? How powerful are you? You see what I'm saying? And I don't want to confuse what I'm saying with like being complicit. I'm not complicit with anything that he's done. But what I am saying is that, do you have power? Do you? Why is Lil Nas X the first one then? Because as far as I know, you was up to this shit for years. Why wasn't you putting the Bush Queens on the charts, girl? You wouldn't have had to force nobody to do nothing because if you're so scary, you could have been like, look, I think this, and not just about Hello Good Morning. I think this about every fucking hood nigga that is DL. I think that about all of y'all. What is all of them guns for? Because I know if I was a hood nigga to that violence, right? I don't consider myself a hood nigga at all. But if I was violent like that, you couldn't tell me shit. I'd be like, yeah. I like niggas. You see that nigga with the beard right over there? That's my wife. And if you fuck with him, I'm gonna blow your fucking head off. If you fuck with him, your family is going missing. If that's how we move in, then why haven't we made the world more comfortable for ourselves? Y'all are so, that's the thing. These niggas are not like, there's nothing truly to be afraid of. And these niggas are, their whole thing is flimsy. It's very fucking flimsy. And I wonder to myself, like, if I'm answering my own question with what I'm about to say, because I know that I could not have been blackmailed with a video of me sucking dick. Not the me that stands today, at least. Maybe there was a me at a certain point. But today, you cannot have blackmailed me with that because everybody knows that I'm an F agate. So I like, what is the girl? I'm not the first girl to suck dick. Put the video out. Let them compliment my skills. I'll live it down. You see what I mean? So maybe the reason that did not happen is because only straight black men can be manipulated through those means. You can't manipulate butch queens like that. Like, butch queens is too powerful. Butch queens don't, like, come on now. Like, a true butch queen, like, I don't give a fuck. Go ahead. Maybe that's what it is. But it's just like, y'all niggas, y'all some worthless motherfuckers. Not just Hello Good Morning, all of the nasty ass perverted producers and CEOs in the TV and film industry, in Hollywood in general, in music, in here, out here in Atlanta, in New York, in LA, all of y'all niggas in politics, in the government, all of you perverted, disgusting motherfuckers, y'all are so useless because y'all are in the government. Y'all are in all the highest positions and it's so many of y'all. Why don't y'all band together and make the world more comfortable for yourself? Misogyny and homophobia is a hell of a drug. You can get that far and that powerful and that scary and intimidating to so many people and still be under the thumb of that. You can't even sit in your cunt. And that's why they hate us, because they just can't understand how we could sit in our cunt.
I have not even 1% of the money you got, and I'm sitting and I'm free. That's why these niggas is so mad. So keep shining your light, butch queens. Please keep shining your light. That's all it takes. You don't need money. You don't need power. You don't need network. You don't need none of that. And I know it does not seem like it. And I know it seems like this gay shit is not really lucrative like it should be. Keep shining your light. Because we are going to defeat the darkness at some point. At least we will gain a lot of ground. This might be an eternal war that we may always have to fight. But as long as we keep fighting, we keep shining in the face of darkness. Because all that's weakness. You see what I mean? And I don't mean that in a fortune cookie cliche way. It's quite literally weakness. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make no sense. So, I honestly, you know what's funny too? Honestly, being yourself is the biggest thing that will protect you from these niggas. Not guns, not a bodyguard, not any of that. But because the biggest fear of these niggas and the biggest kink in their system, I mean, the biggest like vulnerability in their armor is association and proximity to actual queerness, right? The more that you're yourself, the more that they're gonna stay away from you. And I'm gonna tell you why that's, I'm gonna tell you an example of how that's true. The fucking DL niggas in the hood, if you don't give discreet and if you don't give, not all of them, but a lot of them, if you don't give this, because there's some of them that really love a high feminine, you know, actually there's a lot of them like that. But there's also another type of them that like their whole thing is discreet. And these are some of the worst types of people on the planet. And but they will stay away from you if you are too much yourself and you're out, like they don't want nothing to do with you. They don't want to be within 3 feet of you. And that will protect you. And unfortunately, it means that a lot of these people are in powerful positions. And so it means that it makes it really hard for us to get anywhere sometimes in certain ways, because it's like they don't want nothing to do with us because they're so, they don't want our light to reflect something in them outward to the people that so they can see it. They're scared to say they can't. Wow, like, I don't know. It's just, you know what? Did none of them niggas pay attention to Isaiah Rashad's situation? Because I feel like if I was DL, Isaiah Rashad's situation would have given me some confidence. Because he's still doing his shit. As far as I know, I was never like deep into like, I never really like listened to his music like that. Like that situation really put him on the map for me. Other than like knowing that he was a part of TDE, because I love Kendrick. I listen to Kendrick and I like SZA too. So I knew that he was a part of that group. Other than that, I didn't really know much about him. But, and I guess maybe TDE attracts a certain type of more conscious black person than the others. So maybe he just already had the fan base to kind of like catch his fall. But like Isaiah Rashad is just, he's going about his business doing his shit after his videos came out. I think, and you know what, maybe I don't know the extent. Maybe I'm being a little naive. Maybe I don't know the extent of, like, what is being held against these niggas. Like, it could be, like, scat videos or something. Like, who knows? But if it's not, because I'm sure there are some people amongst the bunch who, like, were just manipulated just by the fact that it was them with a nigga, and that's really all they got anyway, right? Or they're getting fucked or something. Let that video come out. Let that video come out, and then let another video come out. And let somebody else be like, you know what? Fuck you. Put that video out too. And watch that whole shit crumble. Watch that whole shit crumble. Because how many people you gonna blackmail after that? I would love, if I could imagine it, I would love if somebody had, like, say somebody really did have the Gatti Gatti video, right? Say somebody had a video like that. And they was just so sick of the shit. And they was like, fuck it. Motherfucker, put that shit out. I don't care. I'm sick of living like this. Ah. And he put that shit out. After that, nobody's going to be scared. I would imagine. I mean, I know I wouldn't be scared anymore. I'd be like, you know what? Put my shit out too. Put my shit out too. That's what I would say. I don't know. Maybe that's not how that would play out in real life. But I think it is. I do think it is. Because when you look at other high profile cases of like people coming out, these people will be silent for years. All the victims will be silent for years. And then one person speaks out and everybody says, oh, actually, I have this. Oh, we doing this now? Okay, all right. I've been dying to talk about it. So I feel like that could happen. And no matter how homophobic you are as a black man, you have to, I know you see in this day and age that like, it's not as bad as it used to be for people looking at you that way. The consequences are not as bad. So they're not as world ending. And if you really just want to get your money, you get your money with the gay people. There's a lot of money in gay people. Gay people are some of the most rabid, like, consumers of pop culture. Ooh, what the fuck? What the bumper clots? I don't know what that was. Gay people are some of the most, like, rabid, like, consumers of pop culture. Like, you get your money still. You'll be fine. If all the straight people say, fuck you, come and market to the gay people. You'll be all right. Especially if you give off straight energy. Oh, my God. These agates will eat that up. So, some straight niggas have... You know what? Let me not sell out my girls like that. Actually, that's not true. That's the new problem that we have to deal with now, actually. Let's shift a little bit because the new problem that is upon the girls and the gays right now is that we have a lot of these niggas that have realized exactly what I just laid out and they are not really queer. And so they are finding their ways into our spaces through like the pronouns and the painting of the nails and the fashion. And they are living their best life masquerading as us, stringing niggas along. And they don't even gotta suck dick to do it. Back in the day, you had to suck dick to do that. If you was going to sleep your way to the top, like, you had to James Dean it, girl. You had, like, girl, y'all didn't see Hollywood? Y'all didn't see Hollywood. I don't think a lot of people saw Hollywood. Ryan Murphy Hollywood on Netflix. That's how you did that. That's how you had to do it back then. I'm pretty sure there are some people who found out what they found out about Hello, Good Morning. And they was like, oh, that's easy. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to get to the bag no matter what. Let me unbutton my shirt a little bit more and go to that party. I'm sure there's people amongst the bunch who did that as well. But you don't even got to do that nowadays. You don't even got to do that to come and get over. I hate that. I hate that so much. I hate that so much. I mean, it's not that I don't want us all to get along. I don't want nobody getting over on us because a lot of times the niggas that do that, they don't really get it. And they're not really like right here with us. You know, y'all can't see me, but you know what I'm saying. They're not right here with us mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And the way that they look at it is how like white conservative people look at affirmative action, right? So they think we're getting over. And so that's how they justify coming and playing a fool on us and basically hustling us and gay baiting and pretending to be a butch queen, playing in our face, because they feel like, well, y'all playing a game too, so let me play. Y'all, they don't think that we deserve any of the little bit of crumbs of like privilege or access that we get. They don't like that. We're not supposed to have that in their mind because we're gay people. So they feel like we've stolen some fire, and so they're trying to steal it back. That's what those niggas are doing. They look down on us. So be wary of those types of niggas, actually. I'm going to end this here. I think that's all I've got for today. I still got to figure out a way to, like, wrap this up in a pretty bow. I don't have a way to wrap it up in a pretty bow. Just to, like, recap, I would like to say that I think that the things that these people at the top of our world are doing is deplorable. And I believe that their time is ending. I believe their reign is ending. And I think we can move forward. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems with sexual abuse and sexual misconduct and sexual dysfunction going forward. But all the work that we have done socially, all the acceptance, all the happy, happy rainbows and all that shit is worth it. It's worth it. And it's making things better for us. And it's giving us more of a dog in a fight against that kind of darkness. I don't think we'll be able to see a level of darkness like we have seen at the top of all our industries. I don't think we'll be able to see that same level of darkness remanifest itself again. That's going to be hard, right? It's going to be hard, at least not on a large scale. It's going to be hard for that kind of abuse and exploitation to be happening on a large scale. So all is not lost, and this is a time to rejoice. This is a time of truth. This is a time to think about, like I was saying yesterday, I'm talking about systems and thriving in systems. The music industry that we grew up with, that we knew, is over. It's over. Everybody is desperate and everybody's scrambling. UMG, they fired 50% of their staff the other day. That's nuts. That's world ending. So now it's time for us to think about what we're building up in its place and not to take the same power back. That's not what we want. We're not trying to be the new UMG. We're not trying to be the new nothing. We are coming up with a new system that functions differently, right? And takes the good things that we liked from the old system. We like to make music. We like to make music videos. We like to tour and share our music with the world. And we want to be able to do that without worrying about if we have a place to live or food to eat. That's all we got to worry about, y'all. How can we share our value and our music with each other while not starving? That doesn't always mean that you're rich and you're wealthy and you're whatever. But if you're a part of a community, you can be happy if you are just fed and clothed and there's a roof over your head and you have a little bit of coin to do some stuff. You know, I'm not saying don't have nothing. You see what I'm saying? But it does not always mean building this whole big, like, it does not have to look like what it looked like before, because what it looked like before was achieved through slavery and exploitation and making people suck dick and blackmailing them. Good night.